I want to say a little bit about Easter, and this is a rarity. You will not see me probably do this again in a long, long time, but today's sermon spells out the word Easter. So enjoy it while you can, folks, because this is probably the most organized and clear sermon you will ever hear from me, because normally you know I'm just a rambling man in a forest. But I've made, because I've been doing a lot of poetry lately, I thought, well, I haven't not done an acronym poem. This is also not an acrostic, thank you. Not an acronym. Very different things. But we're going to go through these, and you can pretend to play at home and try guess what these words might be, but you probably won't get them. What do you think the first one is? We'll start with the first one. What do you think the word E, letter E for Easter is? Go on, Jay. Hey, no, you're looking at my slides. University students always finding a way to get the answer. Technically, I wasn't cheating, Bert. It wasn't the rules. The first, no, that was a good one, but it's actually enjoy. Enjoy. Now, enjoy is an interesting one because normally we think of Christianity or we think of God or we think of following God. We don't think of enjoy. Is it what? Oh, it's Elsa and Anna. Elsa and Anna could be E and A. That would have been really good. Elsa, Anna, and then snow. I should stop now, right? We talk about enjoying. One of actually, do you know what the main purpose of humanity, main purpose of mankind, is to know God and enjoy him forever? Now, that's an interesting question for me because I think a lot of times we don't think of necessarily God or coming to church as something enjoyable. Like, it might be good. It might be, you know, I like to come out of duty or responsibility, or sometimes I come and it's fun, but is it enjoyable? Actually, what God wants us most to is to enjoy him. Like, and when I think of enjoyment, this is what I normally think of. I normally think of going back to LA, to my parents' house, going swimming, then going to get a really nice expensive bubble tea, and then having, like, really good sushi. And for me, that's enjoying. I feel like my stomach is satisfied. I'm in good weather. It's a positive place. But what God is saying is actually, he is more enjoyable than all of those things. That he is greater than those things. Now, it took me a long time to find out whether that was true. One of the reasons is because I didn't believe it. I thought, actually, to know God meant you just come here and you learn about him like it's in school. So you come here every week and you sit in a seminar and you kind of go away with this knowledge. But to enjoy God means you actually say, God, actually, can you show me what it really means to enjoy you? To celebrate in who you are. Now, I'll tell you what that's like. Today, hearing these people's testimonies, sharing in their life, and you hear their stories, even if you're not a Christian, you hear their stories, you think to yourself, wow, that is pretty amazing. I'm pretty happy for that person. I'm glad they found this thing. If you're a believer, when you hear stories like this, there's something in your heart that just goes, man, God, you are amazing. What you do in people's lives is so rich, so perfect. It's better than food, because food, you eat it, and then you tell someone, oh, I just had that. It was really good. Enjoying God is sharing his life and his stories with other people and then having your heart moved by it. I used to be very cynical, very jaded. I did not cry very much. And now whenever I heard everyone's testimonies when I was there listening to them share, I felt like, oh, I'm going to start weeping and bawling now in the middle of the Starbucks. But it's so good. It's so enjoyable. When Jesus first came, you know, when the angels heralded him, they said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Great joy. In other words, coming to his presence, coming to know him, is not about being afraid that you're not good enough, but it's about enjoying him and saying, God, you are awesome. I totally, totally love you. The second letter, anyone want to take a guess? Not Anna. Go on. Appreciate, that's not bad. Don't, no, Jay, you're not allowed to play. Francis, you're not allowed to play either. Adore, adoration, those are good ones. Those are very good Christian words. I picked alive. It is Easter. Okay, I kind of went with an easy one. I also thought the kids were going to be here, but at least there's two good French kids. Woo! Okay, alive. Being alive is amazing. One of the greatest things is first we know that Jesus himself came alive. Now, if Jesus did not come back to life, then actually there's no point for us to be Christians. That's literally, there's no reason for us to be here. There's no reason for us to gather. Because it's essentially, he died, and that's the end of the story. But the miracle is that he comes back to life. And he doesn't just come back to life like Lazarus when he rose to life. He came back to life conquered. He was a conqueror. He was the winner above death forever. He was changed. Something about him. In other words, his perfection was so clear. He was alive. Now that's the hope that we have. This life that actually Jesus, because you're alive, we are alive in you. Enjoy and alive go together, actually. When you really enjoy something, you feel alive, right? And I think that's why people go bungee jumping or skydiving or things like that. You know, I feel really alive when I'm like flying and falling out of the sky. I feel alive then. See, when you are alive with God, you're enjoying him in different ways. And part of that is even in the challenge of things. Saying, you know, actually, there's a friend of mine at work who's going through a hard time and just trying to listen to him and feeling helpless. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help them. You know what's great about that? That means you're alive because you feel out of your depth. You feel like this is not a situation you're in control of. But I'm alive because I know this person is going through something hard and I can have compassion there. And then you bring in the life of God. Say, God, actually, your life, I want your life to fill my coworker. I want you to fill my family. I want you to help them. And then when they have that come to life to them, you know what happens? Everyone enjoys it. Not just happy, I bought a Happy Meal, enjoy, but enjoy like, God, this is the peace and the life and the joy that you talk about. This verse is when they get to the tomb and they walk inside and the tomb and they say, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Just remember how he told you? Like, that is the awesome part of this story, that Jesus didn't stay dead. And historically, they still can't find that body. They can't find that tomb. I mean, they can't find where he, you know, where his body is. It's an amazing, amazing story. So we have the next one. Any guesses? Saved? Salvation? Sunshine? Stay? Sleep? Who said sleep? Satisfy? All of you are wrong. You failed this test. Actually, it's like failing a test. You had no idea what the quiz was, and it's just in my mind. Sacrifice. You guys all picked really good words. No, neither of you can play. It's not even an English word. I cheated all of you. Shalom. Shalom. Did you say it? You should have gotten that, mister. I just came back from Israel. Yes. Shalom. Shalom is... Okay, now for us who are not Jewish, shalom doesn't mean a whole lot to us because we're not Jewish. It's like if I said something Chinese to you. Doesn't mean a lot, unless you're Chinese. Wait, that doesn't work. So the idea of shalom, when it's translated in English, it kind of just means peace. So you'd say, oh, shalom means peace. But in the context, or even when in Jesus' time, when they talked about shalom, it wasn't just peace like, oh, we're not fighting anymore, we're cool. Like that kind of peace. There is this idea of completeness, of it's finished, of a totality of peace. Shalom. And so when they would greet, saying, shalom, peace be with you, it's saying, may the completeness and the fullness of that be in your life. When Jesus was on the cross and he was crucified, he said, it is finished. This is done. He's come and he's brought that shalom. In fact, one of the verses that we have about Jesus being the Prince of Peace comes from Isaiah chapter 9. And this is probably the seminal prophecy about this king who was going to come. And everyone thought he was going to be a king who was going to overthrow the empire. It's like saying he's going to be the new president. But he was a king that was beyond time, that was beyond just this kind of government. He was endless. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. In other words, it's eternal. It's his everlasting peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will do this. How encouraging is that? Now, you break this down to a micro level, a personal level. Actually, don't a lot of us wish we could just have that peace in our life? And I don't just mean, for a lot of us, it's the peace in the circumstance. I wish I could have more stability. I wish I could find that partner. I wish I could have a stable job. I would like that peace. But isn't there a greater peace, the kind of peace that says, God, in every circumstance that might come my way in this life that is hard, may the peace of God be with me, that I can walk and face that, that I can overcome any trial because you are with me. Because my relationships and the bitterness that I used to have towards people, I will let that go because your peace is here. Because my fear of not having enough money, I let that go, God, because I can trust in you. And when you look at all the things that Jesus says, he's saying, look, trust in me, and you will have that peace. My peace I give to you, and it's not a peace like this world. Ask for that peace and say, God, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I yearn for. Okay, next word, next letter. Any guesses? Thank. Yes. Term. That's not a bad one. I know, especially since it's half term right now. The correct answer is trust. Ah, yes. This was as easy as it gets. Trust. And this is where it kind of starts boiling down to this idea of like, God, do I trust you? One of the disciples, when they heard that Jesus had resurrected, said like, I don't believe it. Okay. Unless you show me, and he says here, this is Thomas. He's now famed in history because they call him Doubting Thomas. That's like his nickname forever. We have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. This is like it is for a lot of us, isn't it? God, look, I have these more questions. I don't want to trust you. Joan, your testimony is that thing, right? God, like, okay, I feel like you want me to get baptized, but I don't know. And then God says again, and you're like, okay, but do I really trust you? Can I trust you? All of us, we have to make that point where we say, you know what, I can't just trust myself anymore. God, I trust you. Jesus shows up, right? And then he says, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, he looks at him and says, oh, hey, you were asking about me earlier, weren't you? Here. Put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it at my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And then Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. There's that sense of like, there is a moment where you say, look, I've looked at these facts and I know and I believe. Thomas could have said, oh, okay, fine, I've looked at these things, but unless I see you actually physically raised from the dead, I don't believe. There's always another step where you could say, I don't want to believe. You just look at the U.S. election system right now, and they just believe whatever they want to believe. But here, Jesus says to him, look, don't disbelieve any longer. Don't look for reasons why you shouldn't believe, but believe. And then he goes one step further, and he thinks about us, right? Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What he's saying is actually there is something more special about saying, actually, God, I believe you. You don't have to prove yourself to me. I believe you. I want to trust in you. Second E, any ideas? Elephant. Emmanuel, that's a good one. Elation? Elation's a good word too. Wow, it's like looking in a thesaurus right now. But you're wrong, everlasting. I know, so close. Did you say that? You were about to say eek. Eek would have also been a good one. I think that's what they said when they got to the tomb. Eek, he's gone. Everlasting. And this is part of hope, isn't it? Knowing that God reigns forever and that he welcomes us into that everlasting life with him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. And when he talks about life, he's not just saying you live forever like a zombie, but life, full life, full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, and gentleness, life that's filled with his spirit, that kind of life. If that's not the kind of life we're looking for, I think we're looking for the wrong things, isn't it? God didn't send his son in the world to condemn us, but to say, look, I have made a way for you to have that everlasting life. Believe. And the last one, redemption, rejoice, race, resurrection, boom, 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 return, return. I thought of all the words you guys would say, and then said, I'm picking one you guys won't get. I literally did this quiz just to trick you. But actually, we cannot think about Christ's resurrection without thinking of his return, that he's coming again. And he's coming again gives us hope. And a lot of times it might make us scared, like, oh, when he comes again, is he going to judge and condemn me? Not if you're following him, if you have nothing to worry about. In fact, you rejoice and you look forward to his return. One of the things that struck me is I think a lot of Christians sit around in their house saying, I just can't wait till Jesus returns. This world is going to hell. I don't care. I'm just going to sit here and just judge them from my chair. That's the wrong way to look at it. If you know Christ is returning, shouldn't we be more eager and excited? Not just for the joy of conversion or telling people, but knowing that when Christ returns, the more people that have experienced his love, that proclaim his name, means when he comes, it's like the glory is magnified. Like, how much greater is it already when Jesus returns to know that part of that is sharing in these four testimonies we heard today? It just makes us kind of like, God, I love you even more. I love you even more for what you did. Knowing Christ is returning again is saying, God, I want to love you even more. I want to see that life in my friends, in my coworkers, in this world. I want to see, you know, this kind of hardship and brokenness in the world really end because of your gracious love. So when we think of Easter, we can think of enjoying God, being alive in him, having his shalom, his peace, then trusting in him for that everlasting life and looking forward to Christ's return. Shall we pray? God, indeed, we praise you and we rejoice in you. You are the living king. You're not the dead. You've come down from the cross. You have conquered death. You have conquered evil. We rejoice in you, Lord. So, Lord, let your spirit just continue to move amongst us as we worship you and celebrate into your resurrection and the life that we have in you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close out.